and no stress. You would be lifted. You would be looking forward to your future. If I told you that I was taking you to Hawaii in a week and you knew that I was serious, wouldn't you start to get happy in anticipation? Your body would begin to physiologically respond ahead of the actual experience. Well, the quantum mind is like a big mirror. It reflects back to you what you accept and believe is true. So your outer world is a reflection of your inner world. The most important synaptic connection you can make when it comes to this mind is to know that it is real. Think about how a placebo works. You know by now that we have three brains that allow us to evolve from thinking to doing to being. Often subjects with health issues who are given a sugar pill that they think is medicine accept the thought that they are going to get better, begin to act as if they are better, begin to feel better, and finally are being better. And as a result, the subconscious mind within them, which is connected to the universal mind all around them, begins to change their internal chemistry to mirror their new belief about their restored health. The same principle applies here. Believe that the quantum mind will answer your call and help you. If you begin to doubt, become anxious, worry, get discouraged, or overanalyze how this assistance might happen, you have undone everything that you originally accomplished. You got in your own way. You blocked something greater from helping you. Your emotions demonstrated that you disbelieved in quantum possibilities, and therefore, you lost your connection to the future that the divine mind was orchestrating for you. This is when you have to go back and reinstate a more powerful frame of mind. Talk to the quantum mind as if it knows you very well and loves and cares for you, because it does. Opportunity to write. In anticipation of this conversation, write down some things you would like to say in your surrender statement. Examples of surrender statements. Universal mind within me, I forgive my worries, my anxieties, and my small-minded concerns, and I give them to you. I trust that you have the mind to resolve them much better than I could. Arrange the players in my world so that doors open for me. Innate intelligence, I release my suffering and my self-pity to you. I have mismanaged my inner thoughts and actions for long enough. I allow you to intervene and provide a greater life in a way that is just right for me. Prepare to surrender. Now close your eyes and begin to become familiar with what you want to say to this greater mind. Review what you have written so that you can take your limitations to it. The more present you are, the more focused you can become. As you begin to inwardly recite your prayer, remember that this invisible consciousness is watchful and aware of you. It notices everything that you think, do, and feel. Ask for help and turn over your unwanted state of mind. Next, ask the universal consciousness to take this part of you and reorganize it into something greater. Once you do, then hand it over to this higher mind. Some people mentally open a door and pass it through. Others hand it over in a note, while some place it in a beautiful box then let it dissolve into the higher mind. Doesn't matter what you imagine. I just simply let go. What matters is your intention, that you feel connected to a very loving universal consciousness, and that you begin to become free from your old self with its help. The more purposefully you are able to manage your thoughts, and the more you can feel the joy of being free from this condition, the more you are matching a greater will, its mind, and its love. Give thanks. Once you have completed your prayer, remember to give thanks ahead of the manifestation. When you do, you are sending a signal into the quantum field that your intention has already come to fruition. Thankfulness is the supreme state of receivership. Week 2. Guide to Meditation. Now you're ready to do your Week 2 meditation. Here's a suggested way to move through all the steps you've learned. If you feel that you already did any of these actions while you were reading and journaling, just go ahead and repeat them during your meditations. You may be surprised by the results. Step 1. First, go through your induction technique and continue to become more and more used to this process to enter the subconscious mind. Step 2. Next, by becoming aware of what you want to change about yourself in mind and body, recognize your own limitations. That is, define a specific emotion that you want to unmemorize and look at the associated attitude that is driven by that feeling. Step 3. Continuing on, inwardly admit to a higher power within you who you have been, what you want to change about yourself, and what you have been hiding. Then, outwardly, declare what emotion you are releasing so as to free the body from the mind and break the bonds to the elements in your environment. Step 4. Finally, surrender this self-limiting state to a greater mind and ask that it be resolved in a way that is right for you. Practice these individual steps regularly during your sessions until they begin to become familiar to you, that they merge into one smooth step. Then you'll be ready to proceed on. Keep in mind that as you continue to add steps to your meditation process, you will always start by doing the series of 4 intentional actions you just learned. Chapter 12. Dismantling the Memory of the Old You. Week 3. Once again, you will read through and perform your writing on steps 5 and 6 before you do your Week 3 meditation sessions. Step 5. Observing and Reminding. In this step, you observe the old self and remind yourself who you no longer want to be. Just like our working definition of meditation in Part 2 of the book, to observe and remember is to become familiar with, to cultivate the self, and to make known what is in some way unknown. Here, you will become completely conscious of, by observing, the specific unconscious or habitual thoughts and actions that make up that state of mind and body that you named earlier in Step 2, recognizing. Then, you will remind yourself about, by remembering, all of the aspects of the old self that you no longer want to be. You will become familiar with yourself being the old personality, the precise thoughts you no longer want to give power to, and the exact behaviors you no longer want to engage in. So you will never fall back into being that old self. This frees you from the past. What you mentally rehearse and what you physically demonstrate is who you are on a neurological level. The neurological you is made up of the combination of your thinking and actions on a moment-to-moment basis. This step is designed to create greater awareness and a better observation of who you have been, metacognition. As you reflect and review your old self, you will get clear on who you no longer want to be. In Step 2, recognizing, you have already observed the emotion that drives you. Now, I want you to become so familiar with your specific thoughts and actions derived from the old sensations that you catch yourself while you live your life. With repeated practice, you can become so aware of the old patterns that you never allow them to manifest to fruition. The end result is that you stay ahead of the old self so that you have control over it. So when you start to notice the beginnings of the feeling that normally drives your unconscious thoughts and habits unfolding in your day, it has become so familiar to you that the slightest inkling is now brought to your awareness. As an example, if you are overcoming a dependency on some substance, such as sugar or tobacco, the more you are able to sense when the pangs and tugs of the body's chemical addiction begin, the sooner you'll be able to do battle against them. Everyone knows when the cravings start to occur. You begin to notice impulses, urges, and sometimes loud screams, which sound like, "Just do it. Submit. Give in. Go ahead. Just this one time." As you continuously forge onward and upward, in time you can notice when these cravings come up, and you will be better equipped to handle them. The same is true with personal change, except the substance is not something that exists outside of you. In reality, it is you. Your feelings and thoughts are actually a part of you. Nevertheless, your real objective here is to be so aware of the self-limiting state of being that you would never let one thought or behavior go unnoticed by you. Almost all of what we demonstrate starts with a thought. But just because you have a thought doesn't necessarily mean it is true. Most thoughts are just old circuits in your brain that have become hardwired by your repetitive volition. Thus, you have to ask yourself, is this thought true, or is it just what I think and believe while I'm feeling this way? If I act on this impulse, will it lead me to the same result in my life? The truth is, these are echoes from your past that are connected to strong feelings, which activate old circuits in your brain and cause you to react in predictable ways. Opportunity to write. What automatic thoughts do you think when you feel that emotion you identified in step 2? It is important to write them down and memorize the list. To help you recognize your own unique set of self-limiting thoughts, you may find the following examples helpful. Examples of limiting automatic thoughts. Your daily, unconscious mental rehearsal. I'll never get a new job. No one ever listens to me. He always makes me feel angry. Everyone uses me. I want to call it quits. Today is a bad day for me, so why bother trying to change it? It's her fault that my life is this way. I'm really not that smart. I honestly can't change. Maybe it would be better to start another time. I don't feel like it. My life sucks. I hate my situation with dot, dot, dot. I'll never make a difference. I can't. Dot, dot, dot does not like me. I have to work harder than most people. It's my genetics. I am just like my mother. Just as with habitual thoughts, habitual actions also make up your own unique undesirable states of mind. You are influenced to behave in memorized ways by the very emotion that has conditioned your body to be your mind. This is who you are when you go unconscious. You start off with good intentions, and then you find yourself sitting on the couch eating potato chips with the remote control in one hand and a cigarette in the other. However, just a few hours before, you proclaim that you are going to get in shape and stop all self-destructive behaviors. Most unconscious actions are taken to emotionally reinforce the personality and fulfill an addiction in order to feel more of the same way. For example, people who feel guilty on a daily basis will have to perform certain actions to fulfill their emotional destiny. Most certainly, they will get in trouble in life to feel more guilt. Many unconscious actions match and thus satisfy who we are emotionally. On the other hand, many people exhibit certain habits in order to temporarily make the feeling they have memorized go away. They look for instant gratification from something outside of them to momentarily free them from their pain and emptiness. Being addicted to computer games, drugs, alcohol, food, gambling, or shopping is used to resolve one's inner pain and emptiness. Your addictions create your habits. Since nothing that exists outside of you could ever resolve your emptiness on a permanent basis, invariably you will have to do more of the same activity over again. After the thrill or the rush wears off a few hours later, you will have to return to the same addictive tendency once more, but do it longer. However, when you unmemorize the negative emotion of your personality, you eliminate the destructive, unconscious behavior. Opportunity to write. Think about the unwanted emotion you identified. How do you habitually act when you are feeling this way? You may recognize your own patterns among the examples below, but be sure to add those behaviors that are specific to you. Now, write down the unique ways you behave when you feel that emotion. Examples of limiting actions, behaviors. Your daily, unconscious physical rehearsal. Sulking. Feeling sorry for yourself by sitting alone. Eating away depression. Calling someone to complain about how you feel. Playing obsessively on the computer. Picking a fight with someone you love. Drinking too much and making a fool out of yourself. Shopping and spending more than you have. Procrastinating. Gossiping or spreading rumors. Lying about yourself. Throwing a temper tantrum. Treating fellow employees with disrespect. Flirting with other people when you are married. Bragging. Yelling at everyone. Gambling too much. Driving aggressively. Trying to be the center of attention. Sleeping in every day. Talking too much about the past. If you are having difficulty coming up with answers, ask yourself what you think about during various situations in your life and inwardly watch how you think and respond. You can also inwardly look through the eyes of other people. How would they say they see you? How do you act? Reminding. Recall the aspects of the old self you no longer want to be. Now review and memorize your list. This is an essential part of meditation. Your goal is to become familiar with how you think and act when this specific emotion is driving you. It is to remind you how you no longer want to be and how you were making yourself so unhappy. This step helps you become aware of how you unconsciously behave and what you say to yourself while you're thinking and feeling and thinking, so that you have more conscious control in your waking day. Executing this step is a work in progress. In other words, if you sit down every day for a week to focus on this, you will probably find that you continue to modify and refine your list. That's good. When you do this step, you enter the operating system of the computer programs in the subconscious mind and throw the spotlight on them for your review. You ultimately want to become so familiar with these cognitions that you inhibit them from firing in the first place. You will prune away the synaptic connections that made up the old self. And if everywhere that a neurological connection is formed constitutes a memory, then you are in fact dismantling the memory of the old you. Throughout this next week, continue to review the list again so that you know even better who you no longer want to be. If you can memorize all these aspects of the old self, you will separate your consciousness even further from the old self. When your habitual, automatic thoughts and reactions are completely familiar to you. They will never slip by unnoticed or unrecognized. And you will be able to anticipate them before they are initiated. This is when you are free. In this step, remember, awareness is your goal. You know the drill by now. Read step 6 and do your writing. Then you will be ready to start your week 3 meditations. Step 6. Redirecting. Here's what happens when you use the tools of redirecting. You prevent yourself from behaving unconsciously. You stop yourself from activating your old programs, and you biologically change, causing unfiring and unwiring of nerve cells. Similarly, you stop the same genes from being signaled in the same ways. If you have struggled with the idea of surrendering control, this step allows you to more consciously and judiciously take back the reins in order to break the habit of being yourself. When you become masterful at being able to redirect yourself, you're building a solid foundation on which to create your new and improved self. Redirecting. Play the change game. During your meditations this week, take some of the situations you came up with in the step just before, and as you picture them or observe yourself in your mind, tell yourself, out loud, change. It's simple. 1. Imagine a situation where you are thinking and feeling in an unconscious way. Say, change. 2. Become aware of a scenario, with a person, for example, or a thing, where you could easily fall into an old behavior pattern. Say, change. 3. Picture yourself in an event in your life where there is a good reason to fall short on your ideal. Say, change. After you remind yourself to stay conscious throughout your day, as you learned in the previous step, you can now use a tool to change right in the moment. Whenever you catch yourself in real life thinking a limited thought or engaging in a limited behavior, just say, change, out loud. Over time, your own voice will become the new voice in your head, and the loudest one. It will become the voice of redirection. As you repeatedly interrupt the old program, your efforts will begin to further weaken the connections between those neural networks that make up your personality. By the principle of Hebbian learning, you will unhook the circuits connected to the old self during your daily life. At the same time, you are no longer epigenetically signaling the same genes in the same ways. This is another step so that you'll become more conscious. It is developing conscious control of yourself. When you can stop a knee-jerk emotional reaction to something or person in your life, you are choosing to save yourself from returning to the old you that thinks and acts in such limited ways. By the same idea, as you gain conscious control over your thoughts that may be initiated from some stray memory or association connected with some environmental cue, you will move away from the predictable destiny in which you think the same thoughts and perform the same actions, which will create the same reality. It is a reminder placed by you in your own mind. As you become aware, redirect your familiar thoughts and feelings, and recognize your unconscious states of being, you are also no longer using up your valuable energy. When you are living in a state of survival, you are signaling your body into emergency status by knocking it out of homeostasis and thus mobilizing a lot of energy. Those emotions and thoughts represent a low frequency of energy that is consumed by the body. So when you are conscious and change them before they make it to the body, then every time you notice or redirect them, you are conserving vital energy you may use for creating a new life. Since staying conscious is crucial to creating that new life, it is important to understand how associative memories have made it so difficult for you to stay conscious in the past, and how practicing redirection can help free you from your old self. Earlier in this book, we saw that Pavlov's classical conditioning experiment with dogs beautifully illustrates why it can be so hard for us to change. The dog's reaction in that experiment, learning to salivate in response to a bell, is an example of a conditioned response based on an associative memory. Your associative memories exist in the subconscious mind. They are formed over time when the repeated exposure to an external condition produces an automatic internal response in the body, which then elicits an automatic behavior. As one or two of the senses respond to the same cue, the body reacts without much of the conscious mind's involvement. It turns on by a thought or a memory alone. By the same token, we live by numerous similar associative memories in our lives, triggered by so many known identifications derived from our environment. For instance, if you see someone you know well, chances are that you are going to respond in automatic ways without ever consciously knowing it. Seeing that individual will create an associated memory from some past experience that is connected to some emotion, which then triggers an automatic behavior. The chemistry of your body changes the moment you think about him or her in the past memory. A program runs from the repeated conditioning that you memorized about that person into your subconscious mind. And just like Pavlov's dogs, in moments you are physiologically responding unconsciously. Your body takes over and begins to run you subconsciously based on some past memory. Your body is now predominantly in control. You're out of the driver's seat consciously because your subconscious body mind is now controlling you. What are the cues that cause this to occur so quickly with you? They can be anything or everything in your external world. Their source is your relationship to your known environment. It is your life, which is connected to all of the people and things you experienced at different times and places. This is why it is so difficult to stay conscious in the process of change. You see a person, hear a song, visit a place, remember an experience, and your body begins to immediately turn on from a past memory. And your associated thought about how to identify with someone or something activates a cascade of reactions below the conscious mind that then returns you back to the same personality self. You think, act, and feel in predictable, automatic, memorized ways. You subconsciously re-identify with your past known environment, which then returns you to your known self, living in the past. When Pavlov continued to ring the bell without the reward of food being present, in time, the dog's automatic response lessened because they no longer maintained the same association. We could say that the dog's repeated exposure to the bell without the food dwindled their neuro-emotional response. They stopped salivating because the bell became a sound without an associative memory. As you run through a series of situations in your mind's eye, in which you stop yourself from being the old self emotionally, your repeated exposure to the same stimuli mentally will, over time, weaken your emotional response to that condition. And as you consistently present yourself to the same motives of the old identity and notice how you automatically responded, you will become conscious enough in your life that you can catch yourself from going unconscious. In time, all of those associations that turned on the old program will become just like the dog's experience of the bell without the food. You no longer knee-jerk back physiologically to the neurochemical you, connected to familiar people or things. Thus, your thought about a person who makes you angry, or your interaction with the ex-boyfriend, can no longer tug on you because you've mindfully stopped yourself enough times. As you break the addiction to the emotion, there can be no automatic response. It is your conscious awareness in this step that then frees you from the associated emotion or thought process in your daily life. Most of the time, these reflexive reactions go by unchecked by you because you're too busy being the old you. It is important that you rationalize beyond the barometer of your feelings, to understand that these survival emotions are affecting your cells in adverse ways by pushing the same genetic buttons and breaking down your body. It raises the question, is this feeling, behavior, or attitude loving to myself? After I say change, I like to say, this is not loving to me. The rewards of being healthy, happy and free are so much more important than being stuck in the same self-destructive pattern. I don't want to emotionally signal the same genes in the same way and affect my body so adversely. Nothing is worth it. Week 3. Guide to Meditation. During your Week 3 meditations, your aim is now to add step 5, observing and reminding, then step 6, redirecting, to the previous steps, so that you are doing all 6. Steps 5 and 6 will ultimately merge to become one step. Throughout your day, as limiting thoughts and feelings come up, observe yourself and automatically say, change, out loud. Or hear this, instead of the old voices, as the loudest voice in your head. When that happens, you will be ready for the creation process. Step 1. As usual, begin by doing the induction. Steps 2 to 5. After you recognize, admit, declare, and surrender, it's time to continue to address the specific thoughts and actions that naturally slip past your awareness. Observe the old you until you become completely familiar with those programs. Step 6. Then, as you are observing the old you while you're in your meditation, pick a few scenarios in your life and say, change, out loud. Chapter 13. Create a New Mind for Your New Future. Week 4. Step 7. Creating and Rehearsing. Week 4 will be a bit different from previous weeks. First, as you read and write for Step 7, you will receive knowledge about creating and instruction on the how-to process of using mental rehearsal. Then you'll read the guided mental rehearsal meditation to follow to familiarize you with this new process. Next, it's time to do what you have learned. Every day this week you will practice the Week 4 meditation, which includes steps 1 through 7. As you listen, you will apply the focused attention and repetition you have employed to create the new you and your new destiny. Before you begin the final series of steps, I want to point out that the preceding steps were all designed to help you break the habit of being yourself, so that you could make room both consciously and energetically for reinventing a new self. Up until this point, you've worked at pruning away old synaptic connections. Now it's time to sprout new ones, so that the new mind you create will become the platform of who you will be in your future. Your previous efforts have facilitated unlearning some things about your old self. You've weeded out many aspects of the old you. You've become familiar with your unconscious states of mind that represent how you thought, behaved, and felt. Through the practice of metacognition, you've consciously observed the routine, habitual ways your brain fired within the box of your former personality. The skill of self-reflection has allowed you to separate your free-willed consciousness from the automatic programs that cause your brain to fire in the exact same sequences, patterns, and combinations. You've examined how your brain has probably been working for years now. And since the working definition of mind is the brain in action, you've objectively looked at your limited mind. Now that you are beginning to lose your mind, it's time to create a new one. Let's begin to plant a new you. Your daily meditations, contemplations, and rehearsals will be like tending to a garden to yield a greater expression of you. Learning new information and reading about great people in history who represent your new ideal is like sowing the seeds. The more creative you are in reinventing a new identity, the more diverse the fruits you will experience in your future. Your firm intention and conscious attention will be like water and sunlight for your dreams in your garden. As you emotionally rejoice in your new future before it is made manifest, you cast a safety net and fence protecting your vulnerable, potential destiny from pests and difficult climatic conditions, because your elevated energy shields your creation. And by falling in love with the vision of who you are becoming, you are nurturing the potential plants and fruits with a miracle fertilizer. Love is a higher frequency emotion than those survival emotions that allowed the weeds and pests to come in the first place. To eliminate the old and make way for the new is the process of transformation. Next, it's time to practice creating a new mind over and over again until it becomes familiar to you. As you know, the more you fire circuits together, the more you wire them into lasting relationships. And if you fire a series of thoughts related to a particular stream of consciousness, it will be easier to produce that same level of mind the time after that. Therefore, as you repeat the same frame of mind every day by mentally rehearsing a new ideal of self, over time it will become more routine, more familiar, more natural, more automatic, and more subconscious. You will begin to remember you as someone else. In the previous steps, you also unmemorized an emotion that was stored in your body-mind. Now it's time to recondition your body to a new mind and signal your genes in new ways. Your goal in this final step is to master a new mind in the brain as well as the body. Thus it becomes so familiar to you that you are able to reproduce that same level of being at will and make it look natural and easy. It's important that you memorize this new state of mind by thinking in new ways. Equally relevant is to then memorize a new feeling in the body so that nothing in your outer world can move you from it. This is when you are ready to create a new future and then live in it. When you rehearse, you bring the new you out of nothing repeatedly and consistently so that you know how to call it up at will. In this step, you'll start by asking yourself some open-ended questions. As you pose questions that cause you to speculate, to think in different ways than you typically think, and to entertain new possibilities, this turns on your frontal lobe. This entire contemplation process is the building method for making a new mind. You are creating the platform of the new self by forcing the brain to fire in novel ways. You're beginning to change your mind. Opportunity to write. Please take time to write down your answers to the following questions. Then review them, reflect on them, analyze them, and think about all of the possibilities your answers raise. Questions to turn on your frontal lobe. What is the greatest ideal of myself? What would it be like to be... dot, dot, dot. Who in history do I admire and how did they act? Who in my life do I know who is, feels, dot, dot, dot. What would it take to think like, dot, dot, dot. Whom do I want to model? How would I be if I were, dot, dot, dot. What would I say to myself if I were this person? How would I talk to others if I were changed? How and whom do I want to remind myself to be? Your personality consists of how you think, act, and feel. So I've grouped some questions to help you determine more specifically how you want your new self to conduct itself. Remember, when you come up with your own answers, then contemplate them, you are installing new hardware in your brain and signaling your genes to activate in new ways in your body. Feel free to continue to list your answers in your journal if you don't think you can mentally keep track of them. How do I want to think? How would this new person, my ideal, think? What thoughts do I want to put my energy behind? What is my new attitude? What do I want to believe about me? How do I want to be perceived? What would I say to myself if I were this person? How do I want to act? How would this person act? What would he or she do? How do I see myself behaving? How would I speak as this new expression of self? How do I want to feel? How would this new self be? What would I feel? What would my energy be like as this new ideal? When you meditate to create the new you, your job is to reproduce the same level of mind every day, to think and feel differently than you usually do. You should be able to repeat that same frame of mind at will and make it commonplace. Furthermore, you have to allow your body to feel that new feeling until you actually are that new person. In other words, you cannot get up as the same person who sat down. Transformation must occur in the here and now, and your energy should be different from when you started. If you get up as the same person, feeling just as you did when you started, nothing has really happened. You are still the same identity. Therefore, if you say to yourself, "I didn't feel like it today. I'm too tired. I have too much to do. I'm busy. I have a headache. I'm too much like my mother. I can't change. I want to get something to eat. I can start tomorrow. This doesn't feel good. I should turn on the TV and watch the news," and so on. And if you allow those sub-vocalizations to take the stage of the frontal lobe, you will invariably get up as the same personality. You must use your will, intention, and sincerity to go beyond these urges of the body. You must recognize this banter and chatter as a fight by the old self for control. You must allow it to rebel, but then bring it back to the present moment, relax it, and then start over again. And over time, it will begin to trust you to be the master again. Now that you've contemplated your answers, it's time to rehearse them. Review how you will think, act, and feel as your new ideal. Let's be clear here. I don't want you to become too mechanistic or rigid. This is a creative process. Allow yourself to be imaginative, free, and spontaneous. Don't force your answers to be one way or another. Don't try to go through your list in the same exact way during each meditative session. There are many different means to arrive at your end. Just think about the greatest expression of yourself, and then remind yourself how you will act. What will you say? How will you walk? How will you breathe? And how will you feel if you become that person? What will you say to others and to yourself? Your goal is to move into a state of being and become this ideal. For instance, think back to those piano players who mentally rehearsed piano exercises without touching any keys, and how they achieved almost the same brain changes as people who physically played the same scales and chords for the same length of time. The mental player's daily rehearsal changed their brains to look like they had already had the experience of physically executing the activity. Their thoughts became their experience. If you recall the finger exercise experiment involving mental rehearsal, there were also significant physical changes demonstrated in the body without the subjects ever lifting a finger. In this step, your daily rehearsals will change your brain and your body to be ahead of time. That's why it's so important to rehearse, to bring up again how you will act as your new self. This is how you biologically change the brain and body to no longer live in the past, but rather to chart a map to the future. If the body and brain are changed, then there is physical evidence that you are changed. This part of step 7 is about making the leap to get to the unconsciously skilled level of expertise. When you are unconsciously skilled at something, that means you just do it without having to place a great deal of conscious thought or attention on the activity. It's like going from a novice driver to an experienced one. It's like being able to knit without having to consciously will each of the actions into motion. It's like the old Nike ad slogan, "You are just doing it." If you are getting bored around this point in the exercise, take that as a good sign. It means that your new mode of operation is beginning to become familiar, common, and automatic. You have to get to this juncture in order to hardwire and embody this information into long-term memory. You must make an effort to go beyond your boredom, because each time you engage in your new ideal, you manage to be more of the new you with less effort. You engrave your new model of you into a memory system that then becomes more subconscious and natural. If you keep practicing it, you won't have to think about being it. You will have become it. Bottom line, practice makes perfect. You are training yourself in this process like any sport. If you're doing rehearsal correctly, then each time you practice, it should be easier for you to accomplish. Why? Because you're primed. You already have those circuits firing in tandem in your brain, and it's already warmed up. You also manufactured the right chemistry, and it's circulating in your body, selecting a new genetic expression. Your body is naturally in the right state. In addition, you have restrained and quieted down other brain regions connected to the old you. Consequently, the feelings that were associated with the old you are less likely to stimulate your body in the same inherent ways. Bear in mind that most of the mental rehearsal exercises that activate and grow new circuits in the brain involve learning knowledge, getting instruction, paying attention, and repeating the skill over and over. As you know, learning is making new connections. Instruction is teaching the body how to, in order to create a new experience. Paying attention to what you are doing is absolutely necessary to rewire your brain, because it involves you being present to the stimuli, both physical and mental. And last, repetition fires and wires long-term relationships between nerve cells. These are all the ingredients that it takes to grow new circuits and make a new mind, And this is exactly what you're doing in your meditations. Repetition is what I want to emphasize here. Kathy's story illustrates every facet of mental rehearsal. A massive stroke had damaged the language center in her brain's left hemisphere, leaving her unable to talk for months. Doctors told Kathy, a corporate trainer, that she would probably never speak again. Having read my book and completed one of my workshops, Kathy refused to accept this devastating prognosis. Instead, based on knowledge she had learned and instruction she received, and applying focused attention and repetition, Kathy mentally rehearsed speaking in front of groups of people. Every day, she practiced this in her mind. Over a period of several months, she demonstrated physical changes in her brain and body, to the extent that she repaired the language center in her brain, and completely regained her ability to speak. Today, Kathy once again addresses audiences fluently and flawlessly, with no hesitation. In your own study of this material, you made some important synaptic connections as the precursor for you to have new experiences. Both of these elements, studying information and having experiences, evolve your brain. You are also being given the proper instruction in the unlearning and relearning process of change. You understand the importance of focus in attending to both mental and physical activity to mold your brain and change your body to reflect your efforts. And finally, it is your repeated efforts to rehearse your new ideal that will produce the same level of mind and body over and over again. Repetition will seal long-lasting circuits and activate new genes for you to revisit the next day with greater ease. This step is for you to practice reproducing the same state of being so it gets simpler. The keys for you to focus on are frequency, intensity, and duration. That is, the more you do it, the easier it gets. The better your focus and concentration are, the easier it is for you to tap into that particular mind the next time. The longer you can linger in the thoughts and emotions of your new ideal, without letting your mind wander to extraneous stimuli, the more you will memorize this new state of being. This step is all about getting into becoming your new ideal in your waking day. Your goal in this step is to become a new personality, a new state of being. So if you are a new personality, you are being somebody else, right? Your old personality, based on how you thought, felt, and acted, has created the reality that you presently are experiencing. In short, how you are as a personality is how you are in your personal reality. Remember also that your personal reality is made up of how you think, feel, and act. By doing each of those in a new way, you are creating both a new self and a new reality. Your new personality should produce a new reality. In other words, when you are being someone else, you naturally will have a different life. If you suddenly changed your identity, you would be another person, and therefore, you would certainly live as someone else. If the personality called John became the personality known as Steve, we could say that John's life will change because he is no longer being John, but is now thinking, acting, and feeling like Steve. Here is another example. One time while I was lecturing in California, a woman approached me in front of the audience with her hands on her hips, intensely focused, angrily exclaiming, "How come I'm not living in Santa Fe?" I calmly replied, "Because the person who was just talking to me is the personality who is living in Los Angeles. The personality who would be living and is already in Santa Fe looks nothing like that." Thus, from a quantum perspective, this new personality is the perfect place to create from. The new identity is no longer emotionally anchored to known situations in your life that keep recycling the same circumstances. Therefore, it is the perfect place from which to envision a new destiny. This is the place you want to be to call out a new life. The reason why your prayers were hardly ever answered in the past is that you were trying to hold a mindful intention while being lost in lower emotions such as guilt, shame, sadness, unworthiness, anger, or fear connected to the old self. It was those feelings that were governing your thoughts and attitudes. The 5% of your mind that is conscious was fighting against the 95% that is the subconscious body-mind. Thinking one way and feeling another cannot produce anything tangible. Energetically, that broadcasts a mixed signal to the invisible web that orchestrates reality. Thus, if you are being guilty because your body memorized the mind of guilt, then you probably received what you were being. Situations in your life that evoked more reasons to feel guilty. Your conscious aim could not stand up to your being that memorized emotion. As this new identity, however, you are thinking and feeling differently than the old identity. You are in a state of mind and body that is now sending a perfect signal, free from your past memories. For the first time, the lens of your mind is now lifted above the present landscape to see a new horizon. You are looking to the future, not your past. Simply said, you can't create a new personal reality while you are still being the old personality. You have to become someone else. Once you are in a new state of being, now is the time to create a new destiny. This part of the step is where you, as the new state of being, this new personality, create a new reality. The energy that you released from the body earlier is now the raw ingredient to create a new future with. So what do you want? Do you want healing in some area of your body or your life? Do you want a loving relationship, a more satisfying career, a new car, a paid-up mortgage? Do you want the solution to overcoming an obstacle in your life? Is your dream to write a book, to send your kids to college or go back to school yourself, to climb a mountain, to learn to fly, to be free from an addiction? In all of these examples, your brain automatically creates an image of what you want. From an elevated state of mind and body, in love, joy, self-empowerment and gratitude, in a greater, more coherent energy. Here is where you see those images in your mind of what you want to create in your new life as this new personality. Craft the specific future events you want to experience by observing them into physical reality. Let yourself go and begin to free associate without analysis. The pictures you see in your mind are the vibrational blueprints of your new destiny. You, as the quantum observer, are commanding matter to conform to your intentions. With clarity, you will hold the image of each manifestation in your mind for a few seconds, and then let it go into the quantum to be executed by a greater mind. Just like the observer in quantum physics, who looks for an electron and it collapses from a wave of probabilities into an event called a particle, the physical manifestation of matter, you are doing the same on a much larger scale. But you are using your free energy to collapse waves of probability into an event called a new experience in your life. Your energy is now entangled with that future reality, and it belongs to you. Finally, give up trying to figure out how, or when, or where, or with whom. Leave those details to a mind that knows so much more than you do. and know that your creation will come in a way that you least expect, that will surprise you and leave no doubt that it came from a higher order. Trust that the events in your life will be tailored to your conscious intentions.